Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. Great morning to you. It is a terrific Thursday, June 18th, 2015. I'm so excited you've tuned in today to another episode of Couch Conversations. This show is an outreach of Blessed and Know It Ministry, virtual ministry for virtually everybody. Always available to you via our website, BakiMinistries.wix.com. Check us out on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vine, Google+. All here spreading the news and the excitement that your life is worth living and living out loud. I'm your host, Rev J, and I'm elated that you guys have tuned in today because it is our 300th episode.
Yay!
And so I'm not even alone on the air today. I've got like a team of motivators and inspirational women who are empowering and who are walking out their gift and their purpose. And I'm excited that they have tuned in. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Oh, look at y'all like a chorus. Aw. So with us this morning, I'm going to start with the first caller, was Dr. Gina Prince. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning, Rev J.
How are you today?
Good morning, ladies, and good morning, listeners. I am absolutely fantastic and excited about celebrating with you 300
Yay!
Episodes. I am so excited for you. God bless.
Thank you. Then we have our second caller was Mrs. Tashara Gujabi. Good morning, Mrs. Gujabi.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you today?
Oh, I'm great. It's going to be a beautiful day. And then our third caller, Ms. Tiffany Robinson.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm so proud and happy to be here to share this day with you.
Oh, you ladies make me so happy. Thank you so much. Oh, okay. And our fourth caller, who I just turned on his microphone. Good morning, caller. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Good. Let me introduce you specially. Guys, that's my husband, Reverend Stephen Shelton.
Good morning, Reverend
Shelton. Hey.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Wonderful.
Okay. Yeah. Now, so the topic this morning is on commitment. And so in the society that we live in, it's 2015. It's really a Burger King generation, your way right away, Burger King now, your way right away, whatever you say goes. You could be transracial, transgender, trans, everything, and not commit to, you know, anything, and that goes. But we're here, and we're saying we've committed to 300 episodes as a part, not the totality, but a part of our calling in life. And so with that, I'm excited about the commitment. I'm excited about, you know, what that really means in this day and time. Ladies or husband, whoever, where do you guys stand on commitment? Like, what do you think is really going on in our society with commitment? And, yeah.
I think people are committing. I think they're just committing to the wrong things.
Ooh.
So, well, I mean, commitment can go anyway. It can go in a negative way. It can be in a positive way. It's just what you're committing to.
Me personally, I agree with you, Rev J. I feel like, you know, we're in a society of new age witchcraft, and I just believe that people are just going along with whatever feels good at the moment. And mm-hmm. when you're operating in the flesh, there's really no commitment because everything in the flesh is always generated from, you know, something to satisfy what is hurting at the time being. Those that are searching continuously for a void to be filled, they're missing the commitment and the covenant that God has promised us with, you know, choosing to surrender to Him. You know, the process of choosing to be with the Father through Jesus Christ is a commitment of sacrifice. And people mm-hmm. are not willing, or maybe they're afraid to commit to a sacrifice because it's more painful than it is to just go with the flow of your flesh. It's easier just to say, I can drink it away, drug it away, sex it away, change my look, put a shot in my butt, cut my, you know, cut my part off, add a part, you know. But I mean, no, self-satisfaction is operating in selfishness, which is always generated from the form of, you know, witchcraft, which is, you know, new age. This is the new age, you know.
Minister Shelton, you were saying something.
I was just loving the shoot this and cut that, and but you know it takes commitment to go through that, because I mean it's, some of that stuff is painful, and then you look at it, and I guess it's just what's being bombarded in your visual, in your psyche. What are you committing to watching every day? Because if you're committed to watching negativity, as Tashara said, then you're going to commit to that side. But if you're committed to God, then and looking at and taking into account that all the studying that comes along with being committed to God, then you can go that way. But I think that the commitment that we need to really focus on is committing to turn off that TV. But, I mean, you can solve a lot of problems just by committing to, if you can't turn it off, to commit to just maybe a certain many hours a day to watch it, because your whole self-esteem is being drawn off of fake, phony, and what they want you to do. They want you to keep committing to watching these shows that's taking your mind off of God. You can't fully commit to God if you're always trying to catch the latest, new, and the greatest thing that they're putting on TV, and it's all just a you might as well say TV is a drug. And if you can't come home and not turn on your TV, then you're addicted. What are you addicted to?
Well, let's go deep, mister. Appreciate that. Okay.
That's both of those. Rev, I this is Tiffany. I took pause at responding because I had to think about that for a moment, and I think everybody's input is right on point. I'd like to add to that, you know, social media is impacting our commitment. Mm-hmm. I think just technology in general, everything is moving so fast. You've got meetings, you've got opportunities, you've got children, you've got family. I mean, it's so hard to commit to everything when everything is just a whirlwind all the time, every day. And so it really takes what Doc said, that sacrifice. You've got to sacrifice to keep your eye on the prize, and I believe that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to keep your eye on what He would have for us.
I totally. Oh, you guys are so awesome. We took this in a whole bunch of different directions. Okay, so let me see if I got the totality. So we start off saying yes, there's commitment, but there's commitment to the wrong things. And then while there's commitment to the wrong things, it comes in from what we're choosing to allow in our homes. I think the Bible refers to as your eye gate, your ear gate, because, again, nothing can come out of you but what's inside of you. You ladies and gentlemen, you deal with a variety of people, especially this younger generation, who are consistently on this negative downward. Oh, I hate this about myself. I don't like this about myself. I'm so bad. And it's a lackadaisical, I don't care type spirit. That's what we'll say. How do you think that the lack of commitment from their parents is affecting that?
I believe that, you know, when they, whatever they're seeing, you know, is affecting their decisions. I mean, if you have a household that's not standing for something particularly and just wandering all over the place, I mean, it's, you know, dealing with the youth myself and talking to several youth, I mean, they're confused. And out of the confusion, their defense is, you know, whatever they can do to self-satisfy themselves.
You know, if there's lack of commitment in marriage, lack of commitment in employment, lack of commitment to your word, you know, people's word are not, you know, as committed as it used to be. You know, people used to be a man of their word, a woman a man of their word. If they say yes, it's yes, and if they say no, it's no. I mean, you know, the youth are seeing so much wavering that, you know, even in the church, you know, they're preaching one thing and then they see, you know, them doing something else. So, I mean, it's really just the basics of it all is just if we are with God, we are in a covenant relationship with him. And because we're in a covenant relationship with him, we are committed to the things of him. That means everything that is expected of us. And that goes from him to our marriage, to our household, to our employment, to our neighborhoods, and et cetera. That's just the example is in the word all day long.
Yeah, I second that. I definitely agree with that. Because when it comes to commitment, like everything, when you're raising children, like she says she's working with youth, that starts at home. If your children see what you're committed to, they're watching that. They're following that. If you're teaching them to do something and make sure you do it, because it's your name that's behind it, so you commit to doing it with everything that you have. You give it everything that you have because at the end of the day, it's your name on it. So commit to it. Commit to it with knowing that it's your name. It's your reputation. It's who you are, and have pride in what you do. So that commitment starts at home because it's a domino effect. It's going to start from the head to the tail. So it does start at home, and once you go outside, that's how your kids are going to represent with that commitment and knowing this is my name. Whatever I do, I'm representing my mom, I'm representing my dad, and also myself. That's a commitment in itself. You know, raising children, being at home, having marriage, that's a commitment. All that starts at home because everything you do, your kids are watching. So when you're committed, your kids are going to be committed because they're watching and they're feeding off of you. So that's being a leader in your household and being committed at home. So your children, when they do go out into the world, they know when they put their name on something or when they're doing something, they're solely committed in the right way.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%, Sister Tashara. But I want to tell you, I see a lot of families with the children I work with and even in my own household where you have taught the lesson of commitment. You make high standards with regard to commitment. However, influence, the outside influences is great in our society today. These kids are going outside and they're seeing these other children who may not live in a household where the commitment is important.
Right.
And that's intriguing to them. And then they bring that stuff back home. And you know, that oppositional defiance that, you know, society has allowed our children to now have the voice of, you all know what I'm saying. They've got a voice now, and now they you know, we can't discipline the way that we used to, or the way I was disciplined. You know, or rules. Everybody is not consistent on the rules. There used to be when I lived in the neighborhood. If I got out of line, I was beat from down the street all the way back home, and everybody sent the same message. You can't do that now. That's not the way it is. You can go right next door. You know, you teach your kids commitment and discipline and understanding and God's word, and then they go right next door and learn how to smoke drugs and, you know,
and cook drugs and sell drugs.
Pull your skirt up. Get your body out. Let your pants back. It's so great now.
Hello.
I
do, because she's breaking up. I do agree with everything that she's saying. It is great out there, and I'm talking about, you know, when I'm referring to the youth, I'm also talking about young adults. I'm talking about from the ages of preteens all the way up into the 30s. It's so many. But what she's saying is so true. The thing is that we have to commit as the adults, as the parents or the leaders, you know, just commit to God. That's the example that we set. We give our children back to the Lord anyhow. We're vessels being used to impart into them, and we pray and we, you know, we submit them to him and allow him to convict and bring them to repentance. That's what we have to pray for continuously. You know, you teach them and train them in the way that they should go, and it will not, you know, go away from them. And that's all we have to trust God with that. So I do agree with what she's saying. It is, you know, social media. I mean, it's so many, you know, people that are hopeless. I mean, and angry and frustrated and disappointed. And, you know, they're looking for a release. They're looking for an outlet. You know, we talked about a quick fix. And so the example is even when we fall short, you know, even as in humans that we are, you know, we're ratchet, as the Bible says, you know, we're sinners. So whenever we fall short, the commitment is always having the will to continue to turn back to God. So the example is that, oh, you're not a failure because you fell short. Stay committed to God, and he will transform you. He will, you know, deliver you, you know, because they are going to be tempted and they're going to fall, you know. But we want to teach them committing, being committed to God means that you are always connected to him. You will always turn back to him even when you fall short, and then God will handle the rest of that. But just for us to set the example and the tone throughout the earth is just, you know, to just remain committed in our position to God.
I'm in never
ending. It's something that's never ending. Your children, they are going to grow up. They are going to go out to the neighbors. They are going to be out in society.
Yeah.
They're going to be on social media. That is inevitable, but you have a hand in that as well. We have a hand in that as well to follow our children. You know, we have careers. We have other, commitments outside of the household. But for me, my number one commitment is my children, to be in their business. You know, I'm not going to be with them 24/7. So not to say, oh, my kids are going to do that, I don't know, but I'm going to do everything I can to be committed.
Absolutely.
To make sure.
Absolutely.
God will, you know, protect them. And, you know, they won't, but it's my commitment to them that I will do everything I can so they won't get sucked in by this world.
Of course.
I just remember all the things that I got away with that still to this day my mom doesn't even know about.
Right.
And you just can't be everywhere every time all the time. And you can't lose your mind and stress yourself out because then you're not trusting God and committed to him either. You know what I'm saying? It's like at some point you have to let him be God. And just like God in your life, when you fail short, he going to be God in your children's life. You know, the responsibility and the commitment is to be responsible over everything that he has given you to have dominion over. But again, that soul belongs to the Lord. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
At the end of the day, your responsibility is to cover, protect, and do everything he's leading you. He's going to give you the tools to watch over them, even show you things that you wouldn't have seen if it wasn't for him revealing it to you about your kids. I mean, my son just can't lie, you know, and I keep telling him God gonna tell me every time. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I tell him God tells me every time.
I know it. I know that.
So, you know, commitment, you know, that's the thing. Put God first and all things will be added on to you.
Right.
I'm loving it because what I'm hearing is you guys are saying commitment, but you're also saying action. Commitment is an action word. You're saying that you have to purpose yourself not to follow your children on social media or in life, but to lead your children on social media and lead them in life. And it's kind of like, you know, you guys know how when you're driving, you turn your GPS on, it might be an unfamiliar place. But then it's kind of familiar at the same time. So your GPS says, turn left in 300 feet. But you keep going because you think it's a shorter route. That's how our children are. Like, nah, Mom, you said don't do that. But I'm going to turn left at 400 feet. And then they're like, oh, man, I hit the mailbox. Well, if you would have turned left at 300 feet, you wouldn't have hit the mailbox. But at the same time, we're there to say, you know what, this is a learning experience. Yeah, you hit that mailbox, and that's your insurance is going to grow up because you're not going to be on my insurance, and we have to let them face some natural consequences. I think a lot of our kids have not had to face natural consequences because we've got a lot of people, well, we'll say we'll start with mothers, who have emasculated males, meaning, you're the man of the house and you're six. You're not the man of anything. You're a little boy. Let that little boy grow up. And then we're telling these little girls, watch how mommy does. This is how you do it. Oh, look, she can shake it fast. And then when she's shaking in the club, we want to look down at her. No, she's trying to raise money to pay your electric bill. Don't look down at her because she hit the mailbox and didn't listen to the GPS. Help her steer her car better next time. That's all I'm going to say on that.
Well, right on.
Because here's why I say that. Because when I was 21, 22, I wasn't steering my car quite correctly, and I ended up with a wonderful baby and a degree all in the same year. My family was never like, oh, my God, you hit the mailbox, you have a baby and a degree, you suck, what are you going to do with your life? The family that embraced me really embraced me during that time where I could have lost my mind because I thought I was, and all those other things. They were just like, what? Baby, degree, what are we going to do? Let's rally around her and let's raise this baby. And I think we've lost that aspect of community, of family, of commitment. Not all of us, but there's a lot of people out here who are doing the community thing, and that really hurts because I was raised by a community. I think it was Tiffany who said, like, before I got home, everybody and their mama knew, Jashina did this, gonna handle it.
Mm-hmm,
like,
absolutely.
And it's not... Right, it's not always about the whippings and the beatings and all. I'm not saying all that. What I am saying is rally around these kids whose parents are overworked and all that other stuff. We have an important role to play in our community, not just the four walls of our house or in the four walls of our church or our little agency here or, you know, whatever our footprint is. We have a community neighborhood footprint that we can lead.
But you gotta remember, in today's society, it's all about me, and my. And as long as you always been bombarded with me, and my, kind of hard to raise a child in the community, especially when you're trying to raise a child and the parents are like, you can't say nothing to my child. My child's an angel. My child will never do anything. And on the flip side of that, you looking at it and saying, man, where's the parent at? None of the boys out here tearing up the neighborhood and stuff. I mean, there needs to be more commitment to be a community again.
I like that concept.
I would like it to be more commitment in relationships. We've been talking about children. I think there's a fair commitment with men with women and getting married. The marriage ratio has dropped significantly. We don't talk about it in the church enough. There's not enough, you know, celebration of union and commitment between man and woman. You know, people getting married, and as soon as something happens, they're not committed to the marriage, treating it as a covenant relationship under God. They're breaking up over the silliest things because it is selfish nation. You know, I would like to hear thoughts on, you know, marriage and commitment and men asking women to marry them. You know, is it a fear of commitment? Is it a fear of being rejected, abandoned, hurt, broken? I mean, what's the epidemic with that?
I sometimes feel like there's no modeling. I can remember back when I was a young girl. There were so many black role models. There were role models in general, not necessarily about race, but there were wonderful role models. Somehow, I don't see that now. The modeling that our kids have now is not impressive. I'm not impressed. I can't think of, you know what I'm saying, any young, there are a few, but not like it was back when I was a young girl. Who's modeling good marriage? Who's modeling good behavior in school? Who's modeling all these things that we're asking about to even start the kids with learning how to commit to something?
Right.
Or us in general, just us as adults.
I agree with Tiffany. When it comes to relationships in itself. I just think people today are more selfish and not willing to commit in a relationship because it's easy and it works for them. Relationships are not easy. Marriage is not easy. It is a selfless act. There's a lot of compromise that comes with marriage and commitment, and people are just not willing. They're not willing to give themselves. They're not willing to do that. They're not willing to commit to God. So how are you going to commit to a man or woman?
Uh-huh.
So a commitment goes a long way. If you haven't committed to anything, I mean, I didn't get married until I was 28. So I mean, that's when I committed myself. I was committed at that time. You know, people are just, like I said at the beginning, they're committing. They're just most of the time committing to the wrong things. And like Tiffany said, who's modeling, who's giving them, where they're getting, you know, the model of what a commitment is. You know, who are they following?
Here's the thing to that. This is my answer to that. There doesn't have to be a model. There wasn't a model for Adam and Eve. The model is the Lord. So those of us that are believers have to, again, it goes back to trust and allowing him to do the processing within us. A lot of times the lack of commitment and the upgrade of selfishness is because of hurt, because of trauma, because of neglect, because of abandonment, which all stimulates to mistrust. And again, if you didn't know the Lord when you were younger, it's a process of learning him when you get older, especially when he's going through all of the hurt and pain you've gone through your years of living. You know, people abandoning you, abusing you, things like that. And not saying that, you know, we're all victims, but we have all been through something. And whatever that something is, God has to do something within us to transform that so we can start seeing things differently and start, you know, opening up to love and his goodness. And it all comes from him. It all comes from him because he will send that person. But then we have to be ready, open to receive what is of God. If we can't receive his love, how can we receive it from anyone else? And that's really what the problem is, and that's how the enemy has come in to divide and conquer the lack of commitment and the fear of commitment. So it really has to start with us to say, you know what, I don't want to grow old alone. God, what do you have for me? You know what I'm saying? I want to be closer to you. I want more. You know, he gives us that desire to form a union, you know, to be with someone. So we have to fight past that fear and say, you know what, Lord, transform that.
Well, I see things a little different. This is what I see. And this is what pushes me to do 300 episodes. I see people from age 50 on down who don't know themselves, who have not invested time to put into that mirror work that has to be done, who have been influxed or infiltrated with so many negative stereotypes about who they could be. Your hair is too nappy, your lips are too big, your eyes are too big, your eyes are slanted, you're this, that, and the other according to society, and we haven't really taken the time to get to know who we are as a person. And then we want to link up with people because we're at a certain place and that person makes me feel a certain way. Oh, now when you stop making me feel that way, now I'm going to walk away from you because I'm still chasing that high. I need attention because right now attention is the new currency. How many likes can I get? How many selfies can I take? How many followers can I have? We as a people are not in tune so much with ourselves. Yes, we have to know God. Yes, we have to build that relationship. But at the same point in time, I need to know what Jashina likes so I can know what Jashina does not like, so I know what Jashina will not tolerate and will not put up with. When I got married 12 years ago, my husband and I both were able to lay on the line, here are the deal breakers. At any point in time, this right here, that's the boundary. If you choose to cross that, everything else is done. Where you lose your family, you lose your security, you lose your whatever if you cross that line. Cool. But I was only able to get to that point because I took the time after a very tragic breakup, just dramatic, had me all on the floor crying, it was ridiculous, breakup. But I spent that time afterwards finding out who I am. not just your side. I'm not just that. I'm not what they said about me. At this point in my life, who am I? And we're not, as a society, I'll say, spending that mirror time saying, who am I? Who am I meant to be? And are these behaviors going to keep me on the path to be who I need to be? Why am I tolerating this abuse? I'm better than that. Why am I tolerating this neglect? I'm better than that. And that comes from mirror work. That comes from them sleepless nights. That comes from you laying in the bed wanting something you know you don't need to have, and be it cake, ice cream, sex, whatever your vice is. But when you spend those nights alone with yourself, when you spend that mirror time alone with yourself, and then when you allow, when your prayer is not just talking to God but actually listening, and you surround yourself with some elders who have some wisdom about some stuff, not that they always crossed every I and dotted every T, they just know a little something about this thing called life. When we spend that time with self, with God, with elders, then we come to another place of understanding. That wasn't for my breaking. That was molding me. This wasn't meant to keep me. I don't have to stay in abusive relationship after abusive relationship. I don't have to continue on this negative path. And it's a light bulb moment, like Oprah talks about all the time. The aha moment. We have those all the time. But what we do is we have, aha, and then we go back to what's comfortable. Really? I'm just saying.
Well, that's returning to your vomit. Once God's released you from it and you return back to it, it's still not broken. So that's why I agree with you 100%. I agree with that, all that you said 100%. You're never alone, though. Those that are listening, you are never alone. God is always with you. And just like Reverend Jay said, when you're in that time and you're not just crying out for what you know or what you desire, but you're listening, God is actually rebooting your perception of how you see yourself. Again, words, negativity, examples, habits, generational curses all have effect on people's mentality and thoughts of themselves. And a lot of that abuse and things that they draw is how they see themselves. But when that time alone with God and allowing him to minister and impart and to pour into you, you're royalty, you're beautiful, you're worthy of all these wonderful love and peace and joy, God is going to transform that. And that's how you begin to see yourself. Your eyes are being renewed. The scales are being removed. And you can see things differently. So when you see Joe Blow coming, Susie Sassy, you can say, I seen you last year. I know you, devil, you a lie. And you can turn around and keep it moving, you know? Hello?
Oh, yeah. I think we're all just processing right there.
You know, you can turn around and say, boo devil, I see you, and keep it moving.
All right. Well, guys, it's after 7:30, and I know that we could go on and on and on, but I'm excited about how this 300th episode has rolled and just kind of continued to flow, and I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for your insight. I want to thank you for joining me. I do not take it lightly that you guys could have been sleeping in your beds on your pillows right now. But you sacrificed for me, and I appreciate that. And if you need me to join your radio show, hint, y'all all need one, let me know, and I'll help you out with that process. But, again, thank you all so much, Couch Conversation audience. Thank you guys so much. I hope everyone has a wonderful day and that you guys do everything that you need to do to live your life out loud. I'll be back on Thursday, and our guests will probably be back sometime when I invite them. Y'all have a good one. Everyone take care.
God bless.
Bye.
Enjoy your day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.